this season is calling for diverse groups of people to come together and say, we may look a little different, we may sound a little different, we may go at this a little bit of a different way, but we have the same intent. We want to reach our communities for Christ. We want to see the church move forward. And so whatever is required of me to make that happen, I'm in.
Why? Because we're only as strong as our weakest link. And we are in a real battle where there's real casualties. Life and death is real. Heaven and hell are real. And we need to quit treating the church like it's a Boy Scout troop and start acting like we are Marines. Start acting like we're in the army of God. Start acting like what we do matters. Start taking ownership at the level that God has blessed you. It's the spirit of leading second.
We're excited to announce Leading Second Camp, an inaugural event for the Leading Second Tribe. From the second chair, for the second chair, featuring Brandon Stewart and Larry Bry. Leading Second Camp, March 3rd, 2022, Austin, Texas. Spots are limited. Register now at leadingsecondcamp.com.
This is the Leading Second podcast, where we're on a mission to raise up uncommon church builders and be the kind of leaders our pastors would kill to have on the team. The Leading Second podcast releases every Thursday morning. So hit subscribe, share this episode with your team, and let's join Pastor Brandon Stewart for another vital conversation for all of us who lead in the middle. Season 4 of Leading Second podcast. My name's Taylor, and I'm one of the team members here at Leading Second. I'm so glad that you've joined us today, and I know today's episode is going to add tremendous value to your world. These episodes, they're tailored to speak right into the heart of second chair leaders. And one thing I personally love about the Leading Second Tribe is the togetherness and the unity that we all walk in. Most of us are walking the same road, or at least similar roads, and navigating some of the same challenges in our ministry journeys. And to me, it's just comforting to know that we really are a family. We can link arms on the mountaintops as well as in the valleys. And I just love that. I want to share with you all 5 daily reminders for a second chair leader. I make it a point personally to remind myself of these 5 things every day. And it's my hope today that you're blessed and you're encouraged by these points. So let's go. Number 1, be never not grateful. You get to freely do what people die to do. Some of us even get paid to do it. It's easy to forget that God choosing to build his church through us is truly the honor of a lifetime. So don't allow gratefulness to escape from your heart, even for one day. Be never not grateful. Number 2, have a thick skin and a soft heart. Be really, really, really hard to offend. Let things slide off your back as quickly as they got thrown on. So keep your heart soft by keeping yourself close to the heart of God. Thick skin, soft heart. Number 3, remember that you're a servant. I've heard it said one time, this is great. You can tell if you have the heart of a servant by the way that you react when someone treats you like one. Whew. If you feel like a doormat, it's because you're kind of called to be a doormat. So show up every day wearing an apron, ready to serve. And remember, the aim is to have more blood on your palms than you do on your knuckles. You're a servant. Number 4, what you believe about people matters. Your beliefs and your assumptions of others are so crucial to your health and your journey as a leader, because what you believe about something determines how you approach it. What you believe about yourself, your pastor, and what you believe about your team, they shape your journey as a leader. So wake up every day choosing to believe and assume the best in your pastor and your team. You'll find yourself a lot healthier and a lot lighter for it. You'll just feel better if you believe and you assume the best in other people. What you believe about people matters. Number 5, uproot that bitterness. Sometimes bitterness can creep in a lot faster than we realize, or even without us realizing it at all. Sometimes we allow even the slightest comments and perceptions from others to give way to bitterness in our hearts. But Hebrews 12:15 warns us not to allow poisonous roots of bitterness to grow up to trouble us and corrupt many. James 3:12 says, you cannot draw water from a salty spring. That is so good. Wake up every day with a commitment to uproot bitterness in your heart and ensure that your spirit stays light, your spirit stays fresh. So, 5 things. Be never not grateful. Have a thick skin, have a soft heart. 3, remember that you're a servant. 4, what you believe about people matters. And 5, uproot that bitterness. Thanks for listening, everyone. For today's interview, we are thrilled to welcome back Pastor Dan Lord to the podcast. Pastor Dan is the lead pastor of Victory Church in the St. Louis area and is someone who is very near and dear to our hearts here at Leading Second. Brandon sits down with him to talk about leadership development, transition, and navigating God's call. So let's jump into the conversation today.
Well, Pastor Dan Lord, thanks for being back.
Hey, it's awesome to be with
the
you.
Podcast. We love you so much.
It's a mutual admiration society around here. We love each other. We love you.
You are around the body of Christ. I know you're lead pastor now. You went to the dark side, but before that, you are wow. Infamous in the second chair. Tell us for a minute, just give us the highlights of your story. You spent a number of years in the second chair.
Oh yeah. From the time I was a young man, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, all the way up until I was 32, I was with Roy and Barbara Gerald in St. Louis, Pastor Kevin Sheila's pastors, and got to serve as, youth director. Then eventually somebody said I was the youth pastor in the church bulletin. So then I was the youth pastor all the rest of those years. And then got to be with Pastor John and Leslie Siebling in Memphis for another 13 years. So I'm going to retire probably with more years being a second cheerleader than I will being, so to speak, the first cheerleader. So still way probably more comfortable being a second cheerleader than being in the front.
Well, you have an amazing church. Amazing church. You guys are doing an absolutely fantastic job. And also have here today BJ Cooper.
Yes.
And BJ, I'd asked BJ, he was on my list. We're at Team Church Conference right now.
We're
literally in the lobby catching up. This is the only time we could catch up with a microphone from your face.
Here we go.
But BJ was on my list because I so respect BJ as a second cheerleader, but he happens to actually be on your team.
Yes,
and I don't normally have someone interview their own pastor, but I kind of thought it'd be fun.
Yeah.
So say what's up to everybody.
Well, so glad to be here. Really enjoying the conference. You guys are doing an amazing job and just honored to be a part. Love what you're doing.
Thank you. And so now how did you find your way? Just tell everybody your story, how you found your way to be at Victory Church.
Well, when I was 17 years old, I wandered into Pastor Dan's youth group and he was just a few years older than me. And
I was 18. No, I was in my 20s.
A little older, yeah. But So kept serving in youth ministry, volunteer, and 10 years serving there with him at Pastor Roy Gerald's church. And then just felt called to continue in ministry, didn't know how that looked like, and thought I might plant alongside them. But through that, wound up in Memphis, Life Church in Memphis.
God always has other plans we don't know about.
Yeah. Just kept saying yes, but served there on the team in Memphis for 14 years, and then when they were coming back to St. Louis, it was home, and just felt that call to come and be a part. And so I've been back for 2 years serving in St. Louis.
Doing an amazing job.
Yeah, you're really, I know you're a gift to your pastor and to the church, and I admire you and your longevity. You really get it in the second chair. Yeah. So you're kind of here today. Help me interview your pastor, but speak up too, share. I know there's gold on the inside of you. Here's the conversation I wanted to have with you both today, because we could talk about a million things, but we got to stay in the moment, and this moment matters for the church.
Yes.
And this fall, we're going to have some conversations around the topic of transition, and we're going to talk a bit about that today. We'll get there in a minute. But the first thing I wanted to do to start off with you guys is talk about alignment. And Pastor Dan, I'll start us with this thought. I truly believe alignment is the most powerful culture in a church. I think that if we don't have that, the hole that it creates is vast. Maybe just speak to alignment for a second and why from the lead seat it's so important that we have alignment in the ranks, in our team.
Agreement and alignment, as you've defined them, you know, are kind of two different things. And the scripture asks, can two walk together unless they agree? I think you could also say unless they're aligned, right? You can't be pulling in opposite directions. So the answer is always no. You know, so it's a decision to make to bring yourself into agreement or into alignment. It's, I would say it's like choosing this day who I will serve. Will I serve my own will and my own desires, or will I serve the Lord's? Yep. And then it's also, then I think we can bring that same principle as we follow God into following our leaders, that I still have to choose on Tuesday after the meeting I didn't like the results of, or after the reprimand I got that I felt like maybe it was too harsh, or I still have to choose this day who I will serve and who I'll bring myself into alignment. So it's just important that we just keep coming back to saying, yes, I will stay aligned. I will not let anything hijack my place in the body or my on my team. I won't get an offense. I'm just going to keep on making the adjustments. Yeah. You know, so important.
Would you agree that alignment was really tested? I mean, it's always tested. I know this is a constant thing for those of us to lead in the middle, but it felt severe. This last year, we saw people leave.
Absolutely.
Over it.
Absolutely. I think it was like somebody went down the road and just put a whole bunch more potholes, just dug a bunch of potholes for us to hit to get out of alignment. It was definitely a much more challenging season. I think the isolation and you know, being separated and being isolated probably added to that, because we're better together. And then if we're not together, I think it was like just steroids. The isolation brought on even more problems. So thank God we're talking about this and being aware of it.
BJ, I'd love to hear what questions you'd have for your pastor about alignment. Like, if you could, you know, what's the question you've been dying to ask your pastor? Now we put a mic in front of your face, you know, like what's on your heart right now, I guess.
Wow. Well, I guess just from this kind of role, what we can do to help, you know, to smooth the track a little bit as we're coming behind, and where you're, so you don't feel like you're pulling, but you feel like, man, they're helping to carry that. What do we do as a team? What can we do even better to help smooth the road, smooth out those potholes?
Well, I think you did a great job of it, and I'm not saying that in flattery. Some of the things I think about what you do is how I would answer it, that you handle the conversation, you see it and you handle it. You know, you don't just see it and identify it, but see something and go handle it. You see someone that's kind of going sideways, like, hey, let's have a little quick chat. I think that's what you're doing. You're putting the asphalt in the, it will stick on the potholes, you know. You're sticking the asphalt in the potholes to shore them up so, you know, less people are hitting them. And then once someone's out of alignment, like doing a little pullover repair job. You know, I think that's what makes it so good to have a leader like you, us people in the second chair that are mindful of the potholes and then mindful of, hey, we need to help somebody out.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, is it like this? You don't have to wait to do the whole road, but all along the way, there's course correction. All along the way, there's conversation. It's not a big team meeting once
that's
a year,
right.
But it's in the. It's in the small group meeting.
We
it's
call those leadership now conversations. So instead of a huge realignment, it's a constant keeping alignment. You're exactly right.
You're brilliant at this.
Yeah, leadership now. We came up with that when we were youth pastors. Yeah. It was like coaching. Pastor Sheila and I were just talking about it last night. And I said, you know, in my sports background, those of you that aren't into sports, I'm sorry for all of us pastors that always have sports illustrations, but... You know, my soccer coach, we would have talks after the game or halftime or at practice, but most of the coaching was live, like, hey, get out there on right wing. Hey, push up. Hey, pull back. Everybody on deep. Right. You know, you need to get your head up. Get your eyes in the game. Use your voices. Be more vocal. You know, talk to each other. It was all live while the game was going on. So I definitely, that's great, BJ, that you brought that up, because that's, I think that's better than the big realignment. Like, we're going to have to re-overhaul this whole thing.
Yeah. I think even from, you know, again, the sports background, but I played a lot of basketball. My role was point guard. And it was kind of being the coach on the field, too. Like, when you can't can't have the timeout or the team meeting or the practice the next day.
That's the captain, the coach on the field.
Pulling everybody together when there's a moment in the free throw and saying, hey, this is what we're doing. And so trying to make that happen.
Dan, you are great at helping us elevate and get on top of the issues. You, rather than be down in the muck, I feel like you are really good at helping us get and see things from a higher perspective.
Thanks.
So in this season, how are we going to create alignment when, quite honestly, there's just a lot of information coming at people. There's a lot of divisiveness coming at people. Our world is attempting to divide us into different circles based on skin color, you know, age, gender. And yet, like, how are you attempting to get you and your church and your team, like, on top of this so that we're about something higher?
Wow.
You know, how are you doing that right now?
Wow. I hope I'm doing it well. I'm nervous to start talking about what we're doing, but I think we're constantly vision casting, you know, whether that's in an offering moment or a welcome to church moment or a Zoom meeting. We're just constantly coming back to what it's all about, why behind the what, why are we doing this, what we need to be focused on. Hey, let's not have a B weekend. We can't take a weekend off. We only get 52 a year. Remember why we do this on the weekend. Remember why every role on the weekend's important. Remember this salvation moment's important. You know, it's just, I feel like it's just almost constant. We're doing that, and then we're trying to share good reports, I feel like. Like, hey, this is a good report. Anybody got a good report? Anybody got a shout-out for something? Just to keep the encouragement level high. Not just vision, but also like, hey, we're winning. Hey, here's a win. I feel like those would be two of the things. I don't know what you would say, BJ.
Yeah. I think just trying to do whatever we can to get our eyes off of ourselves and on the community and the needs.
Oh, that's good. The serving.
The serving has kept us above that, because if we're not careful – and all this is going on, you just get inward and you're focused on ourselves. And so more and more, and our church has just responded to it. And
that's right.
And it's done well because of it, I think. And just getting our eyes off of ourselves as much as we can.
You guys have done a great job at, you know, if there's a fire going on, it felt like you guys ran to the fire with as many buckets of water as you could possibly carry, you know. Wow. And I just salute you guys for that. You were just tremendous. I love we've had conversations even about other situations going on the last year, and you've really coached people. Don't hesitate. Just find a need and meet it.
Yeah, it's to jump in, start in. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Initiate is kind of our phrase. Like, don't wait till you have it all figured out. Don't wait till you have all the money. Don't wait till you have everything. Just show up and start there. And then God will keep meeting you, you know. I was thinking of one more thing I think that's helped is just we've tried to have good communication in terms of a little devotional time as a team together. We've tried to, you know, do pretty regular, beyond our paid team, we've tried to, you know, get core team together on a pretty regular basis. We've backed that off this summer a little bit, but pretty much from March last year until, you know, maybe May of this year, we were really strong on our Zoom meetups, you know, as a team, just kind of, hey, what's up? A little encouragement, you know. Anyhow, just a little practical.
Well, no doubt the seeds that we are all sowing right now are the harvest we're going to reap tomorrow. And what I mean by that is the seeds of pouring into new leaders and creating alignment, you're going to reap that harvest, you know. But if the seeds you're sowing are eye rolls of discontentment or side conversations of apathy or whatever, you're going to also reap that harvest. That right now we're really sowing into very, very open ground. And in 2023, you're going to reap the harvest, I think, of things we're sowing today.
Very good.
I think it's just really important that we that we're sowing seeds of alignment. Hey, I also want to talk to you today about transition, because I don't trust talking to anybody about transition, because I just see too many transitions go tragically wrong. And I want to honor both of you, actually. You've modeled the way of healthy transitions. You don't have burned bridges and dead bodies in your stories, you know, and even Dan, your last podcast with us, people should go check it out. You really told, I think, some of your story of the delay even of getting to this lead pastor season, sure. You know, and the beautiful, beautiful miracle God's unfolding through you now, I think is really just tied back to all those years of absolutely. Faithfulness and waiting for your moment and your time. But transition is something that we have to prepare for in advance. In other words, if you're not in one, it's actually a great time to be gearing up in your mind. How would I ever handle a transition if I found myself in one? Because once we're in it, it feels like emotions kick in and right. pressure kicks in, finances kick in, opportunity kicks in, and all of a sudden, well-intentioned people get taken out by really, really botched transitions. And I respect both of you. So I'd love for you just to unpack maybe, what would you say to the person that is maybe facing a transition today?
Sure. I think you're totally right. I've seen, maybe before I answer that question, just to also amen and echo what you're saying, that we really have to be cautious and really have to be prepared for it should it come.
Yes.
And if you're in it right now, especially pay attention to every text message you send, every conversation you have, like guard your communication with anybody and only talk to the wisest people you know that are over you in the Lord.
Right.
So whether that's your pastors, your leaders, or like for me, Pastor Kevin Sheetha weren't my pastors, but they're the wisest people that I know.
Right.
So if I can get to them, I always encourage people, only talk to the wisest people you know. So if you barely know them, but you know them, but they're really wise, get a hold of them, but guard your communication. My youth pastor brought me a painting when I was transitioning from being youth pastor. And I was in that church for 32 years, from birth until 32. And I was speaking at a mutual like church rally, a youth group rally in our city, but I was in transition and he knew it. And it was the end of that season and he had a garbage bag. And in that garbage bag was a treasure. And I thought, this is so odd. We're at another church. We weren't even at our church. And he came to hear me preach. But the whole reason he came was to bring me this bag. And so I thought it was, I said, I have a gift for you. And he starts to pull out this painting of a beautiful tree planted by a river. And he said, Dan, this is for you. My family's been a guardian of it your whole life. Hmm. Your mother painted this picture before you were born, and she gave it to my parents, and it's been on the wall in my parents' house, but we believe we're only guardians of this, and it's really was for you for this day. And he said, you right now are this oak tree that's been planted here for a really long time, and I want to encourage you to guard your roots.
Beautiful.
As you're being uprooted, because the Bible teaches us that there is a time to uproot, but the way you decide the fruit of your tree, the tree of your life in the future, is how well you guard the soil that is around the roots.
Right.
And you don't want to cut off those roots. You want to preserve every root you can so that when God replants you in the new soil, that the tree has the chance to bear even more fruit.
That's so good.
And so that gift was more than just the painting. It was really my youth pastor giving me that word of caution. So that would be a second decision to make, to pre-decide. I am going to guard my communication. I'm going to guard my roots. And that means I'm going to preserve the divine relationships that God has given me. I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that in a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, I can call my current leader who's helping me transition. And they're going to take my call and they're going to love me and they're going to still think of my time with them being a blessing. I'm not going to ruin that.
I guess I had kind of pre-decided at some point some things. I wasn't ever looking for a transition or didn't, you know, I thought I could stay there for the rest of my life.
Yeah, we thought you were going to when we came to St. Louis.
But there was a couple of things long before that, I think, that I decided I'd never wanted to leave because there was a problem, and I never wanted to leave because there was an offense. I wanted, if I was ever leave, it wasn't because things weren't going well, that it's...
The Lord would have to lead it.
The Lord would have to lead it. If it wasn't because of a problem. It wasn't because I got my feelings hurt.
Very good.
But there was... I wouldn't leave during any kind of season like that.
But I think this is actually a quality of someone who makes great transitions. I hear this a lot of people saying, I thought I'd be there the rest of my life. I mean, I have a couple transitions in my history. One, I was given a starting opportunity as a youth pastor in Minnesota. And honestly, I was sort of on loan from Pastor Kevin. He always had intentions, I'm sure, for me to come home, but I didn't. I was there. I saw myself being there as far as I could see, but then transition was upon us. We moved home here to the Seattle area to be a part of Champion Center. And if you would have asked me my time on staff, I had my dream job. I never saw myself doing anything else. But then all of a sudden, 2011, I find myself in transition again, off staff and into the precursor of what's now Leading Second. So it... I think I hear that. And I wonder if that's maybe a quality is to me, the people looking for transitions, maybe you're a little more likely to botch it or seek it for the wrong reasons, maybe.
Yeah.
So I don't wonder if maybe we just all need to settle down a little bit and realize if God opens a door for you to go do something, there will be no way of shutting it. He will. Lord, he had to get my pastor to fire me to get me off the staff. Yeah,
and
you know?
Even that transition, right? You were not planning for.
Oh, Lord, no.
You didn't see coming. For me, I went to my pastor. I'm feeling this. For you,
no,
it could come another way where your pastor says, you're in transition and you're
absolutely
done.
Absolutely. I had.
So you have to be ready for that, too. That could happen.
I had as long as it took for him to explain it. So a couple minutes.
Uh-huh.
I had that long to figure out what I was going to do. And it was the most instant, out-of-body, weird experience. I had done nothing wrong. It was economic reasons. There wasn't, you know, I actually was speaking the coming weekend. I was on the platform of the coming weekend. So this is how it was good. We had just had our best small group. I was our small groups director, best small group semester ever. I mean, there was no sign of the hurricane, you know? So I think, and I said this on one of our other recent podcasts, in that moment, what came out of me, here's what made it worse, and I'm repeating myself here, but here's what made it worse was he actually said to me, because you've done nothing wrong, I'm actually going to release you if you want to go to another church. If someone will hire you and you want to go,
I've never heard you tell that part of the story.
He's like, I'll bless it. So I had to free out.
Whoa.
And I all would have been good. And I'm sitting there and this is all just like hitting me, and what came out of me probably just prophetically at this point, because I can't say I was like super clear in the head, but I said I would rather volunteer here than be paid anywhere else. And to this day, I'm a volunteer staff member. I run Team Church, but it's all volunteer for me. And I sowed that seed in that moment.
Yep.
And God did something incredible with that seed. We actually birthed our volunteer staff at Champion Center out of that season, but all that came. My whole point I'm trying to make about transition is I had to store that up in advance before I ever knew that was coming. Cause otherwise I think I would have been pretty vile in that meeting.
Yeah.
Like I think you would have seen your humanity come out. Right?
I think you're basically talking about the volunteer spirit that even if you're paid, some people that are hearing this today, you're getting ready to come into a transition. It doesn't have anything to do with money. Some people, it is monetary. You're as a paid member of the team. So either way, it's not losing or possessing the volunteer spirit.
Absolutely.
Which you possess.
And ultimately, just trusting the assignment of God on your life. I mean, if God's not moving you from your house, or if God's not moving you from your post, I mean, a paycheck's just a paycheck. I mean, our God has unlimited resource here. So we got to learn to trust God. Again, every situation's different, but we have to learn how to trust God.
Yep.
And follow him rather than all of these external pressures. And I don't mean to be doing all the talking, but I really hope that through some of these conversations this fall, that some leaders we've seen some wrong transition.
Yeah.
Maybe we can see some right ones.
Yeah.
Coming up.
I just thought about a word of caution for some people that are on teams. Maybe this, you're listening today, and if right now your pastor, you're talking negative about your pastor or his leadership, and you're talking about other churches that you'd love to be at, I just want to encourage you, go right now, pause this, pick up your phone, text your pastor and say, I need to have a conversation with you very soon. And then go apologize and do him a favor and you a favor and move on or repent, get things right. Wow. Because I've also seen people, and they'll come for advice or talk to us and say, you know, this, and I'm like, you know what? You are not doing your church any good right now because you're in such a bad place. Mm-hmm. And if he knew you felt this way, you know, like if you were on my team, I would help you go right now because you're just not helping the kingdom. And I know that might sound really harsh or whatever, but just be big enough to go make things better for your church and your pastor if you need to. And for you, either get your heart right or go, you know, don't be dead weight for your team and your church and spread negativity. You know, the scriptures are clear about that. You know, God can't bless you if you're in a bad place in your heart. I would rather see you repent. You know, I've had to do it before. You know, Pastor Willie George said, yeah, so I felt like quitting. So quit, and then the next morning, re-up. So sometimes, you know, you feel like, man, I'd take this church and take my role. And you can have it. Well, okay, well, maybe just deal with that in your heart and re-up. Yeah. That'd be the better way to go, but.
I'm going to give each of you a last question here. The same question. BJ, I'll start with you, and then Dan will end with you. With everything that the headwinds that we're facing right now in this season, what would you say would be your greatest prayer for leaders in the middle in this season?
I think just remembering the significance of what we're doing, the importance and the gratitude of what we get to be a part of, that God's great church. And if we can just keep our eyes fixed on that, the roles, the whatever the challenges are, man, just keep our eyes. If we could do that, if we could keep our eyes fixed on him and what we get to be a part of, we'll make it.
I think my prayer would be is don't give in to weariness and being tired. It's been a tiring season. For a lot of people, we've tried to do extra time off and things like that, but really it's a spirit of weariness or a spirit of heaviness. And just my prayer would be that all the second cheerleaders would, Aaron and the Hur that are holding up the arms of Moses wouldn't get tired.
Right.
And that the Joshua with the sword in the hand, whichever one of those you are, a support role or a warrior, that you just wouldn't get weary and doing good, for at the right time you'll reap if you don't give up.
That's so good. It's so good. For the person that's still listening, we're half an hour in, and I always kind of figure if you're still listening, you needed this.
You're super dedicated.
You're a super fan, or you really needed this. And I would just say, if we can help, we try to be generous with messages, DMs, all that, as much as we can. If you're facing transition, you're really dealing with some misalignment, will you just reach out to us? If we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to offer any wisdom we can, and encourage you as you do your best to honor your church and honor your pastor. Pastor Dan Lord, BJ Cooper, thank you so much for some wisdom today, for a life-giving conversation. We love you. Love you guys and love Victory Church
love
so
you,
much.
Lindsay. God bless you all.
Yeah.
For more information, check out leadingsecond.com, follow us on Instagram @leadingsecond, and join us on the Leading Second Collective on Facebook.